look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you to bless as we study your word together tonight and consider some things. We pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would encourage us and strengthen us in these days in which we live. We thank you for your people. We thank you for their love for you and for their faithfulness to you, whether they're here or in the lunchroom or whether they're in their homes watching my sermon audio. We pray your blessings upon them. And we ask you to help us to be a blessing to you and a testimony for you in the days ahead. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, just to let you know, we had 47 people in here, and we had 39 down in the lunchroom. And I would like to mention that, Lord willing, we're planning to meet Wednesday night, as we are next Sunday, and continuing on. We will let you know the logistics of the services going forward, but we intend to continue to be obedient to the Lord here, gathering together in His name. This morning, we were talking about the conditions in which we find ourselves. I mentioned that the only way that we can really look at the world and understand what is happening is to look at things through the lens of the Word of God. And we mentioned that there were two portions of Scripture that came to mind, and then we proceeded to only talk about one of them. And so tonight, for a few minutes, we want to look at the other passage of Scripture that we didn't have time to get to this morning. It's found in the book of Daniel. So I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1. While you're turning there, I'll remind you of the background here, but you know it. Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, have been taken captive from Judah by Nebuchadnezzar and brought to Babylon. And immediately, because they were, as we see in verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. We see in verse 5 that the king appointed them a daily provision of his meat and of the wine that he drank. And the plan was to nourish these children for 3 years. Then at the end of the 3 years, they would stand before the king. So here are these four young men, captives in a strange country. And the natural thing in those kind of circumstances is as best you can not to stand out, not to make waves. Don't cause any trouble. And the best way to do that is to go along. The old saying is that when in Rome, you do as the Romans do. When in Babylon, you do as the Babylonians do. But Daniel didn't think like that. Look at verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel purposed in his heart. That word purposed is an important word. It means to set. It means to direct, to establish. It means to fix. Daniel set and directed and established and fixed his heart. But on what did Daniel do that? On what did he establish and set and fix his heart? Well, he tells us in verse 12, if you'll notice that. Daniel says there, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. He's talking to Melzar, the prince of the eunuchs. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. A little over 30 years ago, Pastor Kelly was preaching here in the book of Daniel. And he talked about pulse. He said that pulse is that which comes from seed. And he made the point that whenever we read about seed in the Bible, it should bring before our minds the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the seed of the woman. He is the corn. He is the seed of wheat that fell into the ground and died and brought forth much fruit. He's the one who we read about in Galatians 3 and verse 16, where Paul says to the Galatians, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ is the seed. And so pulse here is a type. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Water, as we know, is a picture of the Word of God. And so the purpose and the conviction of Daniel's heart, what established his heart and set his heart and fixed his heart in the midst of these circumstances in which he was in, was pulse and water. The Word of God living, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God written. When I read those words in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart, what comes to mind is what we might think of as the New Testament equivalent of them. And that's 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. To sanctify is to set apart. To sanctify is to set apart and establish and fix. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set Him apart. Establish yourself on Him. Fix yourself on Him and His Word. The way that we do that is by feeding on pulse and water. The Word living and the Word written. It's one of the reasons that we, like we were talking about this morning from Hebrews 10:25, how it is so important not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because here, we're feeding on pulse. We're feeding on the Word living. He's here with us tonight. In a way that can't be explained or understood, but it's a way that God makes a distinction about. We're feeding on pulse, the Word living, and we're feeding on water, the Word written. And this is how we establish our hearts. This is how we fix our hearts. This is how we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and set Him apart. The Word living and the Word written. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The psalmist said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And then we read in the New Testament, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Through the pulse, as we read His Word. And folks, our hearts need to be kept, and our minds need to be kept and fixed in these days in which we're living. Our hearts and minds kept through Christ Jesus. There's the pulse and the water. And feeding on the Word living and the Word written is how we purpose in our hearts. It's how we can say with the psalmist, David wrote two psalms in which he said this. Two of the psalms that he wrote. Psalm 57 and Psalm 108. He said, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed." What he was saying is, my heart is firmly established. My heart is stable. My heart is directed aright and prepared and settled. And it is securely determined to be obedient to the Lord. That's what that word fixed means in those Psalms. And the only way to have that kind of heart is to feed on pulse and water. And when we do, the Lord will be sanctified in our hearts. He'll be set apart in our hearts. And we'll be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in us. We'll purpose in our hearts as Daniel did. I'm sure Daniel has an opportunity here. He sanctified the Lord God in his heart. And here comes the chief of the eunuchs along and says, "Here's your food. You're going to be eating the king's meat. You're going to be eating the king's wine, drinking the king's wine." And Daniel says, No. We don't want to do that. We want pulse and water. Why? So Daniel has an opportunity to explain why. When we do that, when we purpose in our hearts that we'll not defile ourselves with the king's meat, with the desire of the king of this world, or his representatives, we'll have this desire in our hearts not to defile ourselves with the wine, with the intoxicating ideas of the king of this world. The king's meat and the king's wine now says, you can travel to church. You can meet in church. It's essential. Just as long as there are no more than 10 there. These are difficult days. And I suspect they're going to get more difficult. We need, like Daniel, to feed on the pulse and the water, so that we might purpose in our hearts ahead of time, be settled and fixed in our hearts, that we might be ready to give the answer that God says that we're to give. The answer that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Now turn over, if you will, to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. You know the account here. After Daniel and his friends stood for the Lord and refused the portion of the king's meat and wine, they were found to be 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers there in Babylon. And so when Nebuchadnezzar dreams this dream that he could not remember, it's not the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans who can tell the king what he dreamed. It's Daniel. As he and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego gather in prayer and ask and beseech the God of heaven, to the God in heaven who reveals secrets, to reveal the secret of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And the Lord does that. And so it's Daniel who goes in and he not only tells Nebuchadnezzar the forgotten dream of this great image whose head was of gold and his breast and his arms were of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass and his legs of iron and his feet part of iron and part of clay. But Daniel also tells him the interpretation of the dream. How Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon are the head of gold, and how after Nebuchadnezzar will come three world kingdoms, but they will be lesser in glory than Nebuchadnezzar and greater in ferocity and cruelty. And so Nebuchadnezzar is so impressed that he makes an image of gold. And we see here in chapter 3 that he set it up in the plain of Dura. He set it up on this flat plain of ground so that it could be seen by all, so that it could be seen from a great distance away. And then Nebuchadnezzar brings together the leaders and the rulers of the people. He brings together, as we see in verse 3, the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces. He brings together people, nations, languages of the world. And he gives the command in verse 4, a herald receives the command from Nebuchadnezzar and he relays that command to the people. To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And so in verse 7, the people bow down. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Everyone that is, but three men. Look at verse 8. Wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? There are some things that we need to think about as we read these verses. I think there's some things that apply to our situation right now that have a direct application to us. Some things that we better prepare for and purpose in our hearts to be ready for. First of all, if we take a stand as we should, we're going to stand out. And we're going to stand alone. Just think about the scene here. This image, this huge image, is set up in this plain where there are no hills to block anybody's view. Everyone is in plain sight. And so here are three men among the tens of thousands who were there. Three men not bowing down at the sound of the music. They are going to stand out in that crowd above everybody else. and they stood alone. Not one person among all those thousands joined them. Now think about us. Satan, he is the mind behind what is happening in this country. There's no question about that. And the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of the world are playing the music. All kinds of music. No mass gatherings of more than 10 people. And many churches are hearing the sound of that music and they're bowing down and they're worshiping before the golden image of government. But down in a hole on Bennett Street in Southern Pines, North Carolina, the lights are on. The parking lot has cars in it. Here's a place where the people of God, by the grace of God, and in His strength alone, are not bowing down. This church, folks, is going to stand out. We're going to stand out. And to a great extent, we're pretty much standing alone. That brings us to the second thing that we need to keep in mind. If we stand, we're going to make people angry. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made the Chaldeans angry. It's always something that I've chuckled about, because how'd those fellas know that they were standing? How'd those fellas know they didn't bow down? They had to be looking around there so they could see. If we stand, we're going to make people angry. The Chaldeans got angry. They got so angry that they reported these men to Nebuchadnezzar. They reported them to the government. And the government was filled with rage and fury. That's what we see in verse 15. Or rather, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, that could happen here. In fact, people have already taken to Facebook and Snapchat, I think that's what you call it, Instagram, to express their anger at you, at this church, because we would, how dare us continue to meet in the face of the government's command? That may be as far as it goes, but it may go further to the local paper. I understand Brother Vic was in the grocery store this week and he was on the aisle shopping, minding his own business. All of a sudden, this woman starts yelling at him, 6 feet, 6 feet. Well, somebody could ride by here and say, a lot of cars down there. A lot of lights on. They might call the local paper. They might even go to some governmental authority. We better sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is in us. We better purpose in our hearts right now by feeding on pulse and water, that we will not eat of the king's meat or drink of his wine. The third thing is that if we stand, we're going to be regarded as troublemakers. Look at what the Chaldeans said to Nebuchadnezzar in verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. It's another thing that's always sort of interested me, how, you know, people can get their shots in. They're going to take their digs. And so these Chaldeans are taking their digs at Nebuchadnezzar for putting these Jews over the affairs of the province of Babylon, whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They are troublemakers. That's what the Chaldeans are telling. Remember how Ahab addressed Elijah? There had been 3.5 years of drought. And finally the Lord told Elijah to go and present himself to Ahab. And when Ahab saw him for the first time after there's been no rain for 3.5 years, remember what Ahab said to Elijah? Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Elijah said to Ahab, I'm not the one that's troubled Israel. You and your house have troubled Israel because you've forsaken the Lord God of Israel and you have turned to Baal. Folks, we're not the people that are troubling America. We're not the people that are troubling America. The people that are troubling America are churches. They are pastors who have forsaken the Word of God. They have forsaken the Word of God and they have gone after humanism. And they've led this country and the people of this country away from the Lord. Remember what Paul and Silas were accused of in Philippi in Acts chapter 16? Verse 20 of that chapter, they were brought before the magistrates, and the charge was, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. Folks, if we stand, we're going to be regarded as troublemakers. We better sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. We better purpose in our heart right now. Right now. By feeding on pulse and water, the word living and the word written, that we're going to be obedient to the word of God no matter what. The fourth thing is that if we stand, there's a price to be paid. Look at verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? What price are we going to have to pay for standing for the Lord? I don't know specifically. But here's what we do know. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 15, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. He said in John 16 and verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. What price are we going to have to pay for standing for the Lord? We don't know. But we better sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready. We better purpose in our hearts right now by feeding on pulse and water so that when the hatred and the persecution comes, we will, as the hymn writer said, bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O king, these are the words of men who have purposed in their hearts. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Those words there in verse 18 jump out. But if not, their faith was not dependent on circumstances. Their faith was not dependent on deliverance. Their view of God and his faithfulness was not dependent on deliverance, because it might not have come. We need to have that attitude of heart. These men had purposed in their hearts that they would obey God rather than men. God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And that includes Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. Something else that we see in verse 18 is that these men did not give in to Satan's second chance. Now, Nebuchadnezzar gives them a second chance there in verse 15. "If ye be ready, then at what time ye hear all of this music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made." Well, listen, fellas, maybe you didn't hear the command. Maybe you were thinking about something else. I'm going to give you another chance. We're going to sing another verse. And you're going to have another opportunity to bow down and worship. They didn't give in to Satan's second chance. Will we, if that situation arises? Oh, listen, folks, you can avoid all this trouble if you just give in to our decree. We'll give you another chance. May we purpose in our hearts to say what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. "Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Nebuchadnezzar here is a picture. He's a type of a government used of the devil to attack those who are standing for the truth. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. A government that wants you to disobey God wants to destroy you. And it may not be physically as it is here. It may be financially, through the legal process, that can tie up not only years of time of a ministry, but thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that can bankrupt an individual or a ministry. I remember when we came back here in 1987. For a number of years, it seems to me, and some of you folks that have been here longer, you can correct me, but it seems like there was a special offering taken up every 4th of July or right around that time to help pay the legal fees that had been incurred in the fight against the state trying to take over the Christian schools. The Lord provided. But those kinds of things can bankrupt a ministry. Many a ministry has been destroyed financially by a government that wanted them to disobey God. Now notice verse 21. "Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." These men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments. These men were bound by their clothes. They were bound by their clothes. Clothes in the Bible are a picture of our testimony. They were bound by their testimony. Their testimony there in verses 16 through 18. They were bound by their testimony, and folks, so were we. And what is the testimony that we're bound by? It's the word of the testimony of this book. And this testimony says in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." This testimony by which we are bound says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." This testimony by which we are bound says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That is the testimony by which we're bound if we know the Lord as our Savior. Verse 22. "Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king." Now notice verse 25. "He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Folks, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego learned something that we need to learn. They learned that they had more freedom in the fire. They learned that they had more of a sense of the Lord's presence in the fire. And it's like that because of what we read in 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ." Folks, I don't know what lies ahead. I know we want to be obedient to the Lord. The Lord knows what lies ahead. And if we'll feed on pulse and water, the word living and the word written, He'll give us the strength. He'll give us the strength, the purpose in our hearts that we'll be obedient to Him. Just like Daniel. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And He'll be with us. We sing that song, "How Firm a Foundation." And one of the verses of that song is this: "The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that you would take it tonight and use it to encourage your people. We pray that you would take it tonight, the pulse and the water, and use it so that we might sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and purpose in our hearts that we will stand for you and be obedient to you in these days. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.